Good evening, this is Mojo Radio, Hoodoo Radio, Ghost Radio.
Cancel my subscription to the resurrection.
I am not a number, I am a free man.
Send my credentials to the house of detention.
And now Ghost Radio presents House of Detention. With your host, Alan Graham.
Welcome to show number 3. And now a word from our sponsor, I believe, PMD.
This portion of Alan Graham's House of Detention is brought to you by the Portable Medical Disc, the PMD.
All right, you know I'm personally involved in this. I love it so much, the product. But right now I want to do the medical report. It's actually a shout-out to all the people I know who are sick. To my brother-in-law in Liverpool, Bob Kofi. To my niece, Sharon, in London. To my friend, Lauren. And to many other people I know who are sick right now. I wish them well. And the portable medical disc is very much connected with your health, because I've told you before that whenever you go into a doctor's office these days, you're taking your life into your hands, especially if you've had some surgery. There's rampant incompetence. This device was invented by an emergency room nurse who has hands-on experience with this stuff, and you would be surprised at some of the people who are irresponsible, doctors, nurses. It is just a phenomenon. It's very scary. So I urge you to go to portablemedicaldisc.com and look at this little tiny device. It's worth a few dollars that you're going to pay for it, because it can save your life. All right, now talking of health, first I want to get to the very first thing that happened to me today was my grandchildren. What a day, man. I drove up early in the morning. I went to see little Lukey and his little buddy next door, and my little niece Callie, and my big son was there, and my other big son was there. And we had one hell of a time. We spent a lot of time bashing a computer to pieces and taking all the jewel parts and putting them into this special container, and all the kids helped, and we had one hell of a time. And the adults stood back aghast, of course. No, not really. They're used to my mental behavior right now. But anyway, the kids, you know, they're like, they're just the best audience in the world, and they're the best medicine you can have, you know. So I urge you to play with your grandkids and be yourself. Okay. Now, I want a couple of shout-outs to Liverpool here, because I'm going to be doing a show all about Liverpool people and me past and, you know, where they grew up and all of that. So I'm talking in Liverpoolese right now for all the Scousers who are listening out there. And if you can understand this, I feel very sorry for you, because the funniest people on the earth are some of them anyway. Most of them are Scousers. And the rough, tough bunch, too. Let me tell you a little joke about Scousers. All Scousers have heard this joke, but Americans haven't. So it goes like this. St. Peter was standing talking to God, and he said, there's a crowd at the gate. So God said, why don't you go take care of it and see what it is? And he came back and said, 200 Scousers. He said, oh, no. Look, I'm going to be busy over here with Satan and all this stuff. Why don't you go over there and see if you can handle it? So St. Peter comes back a few minutes later and says, they're gone. And he went, oh, the Scousers. And he said, no, the gates. That kind of describes the where I came from, you know, like the rough, tough people, no bullshit people. Anyway, to my brother John and his lifelong partner Jimmy, send you much love. And to my sister Flossie, and to my sister Norma, and my sister Jean and Brenda, and all of the other family members, I've forgotten their names, and nephews and nieces. There are like 738 of them, and they all live in the same street in Liverpool. And I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's my family, and I want you to know, your Scousers, that you've got a radio show now in America, and it's talking all about you. So there you go. All right, so give this a number to call, 1-818-602-4498, and you can even call from England. And if you want one of me signed books, I remember, give us a dead good call. All right, we're moving on now. The next segment is some dead air. You know who Dr. Laura is? Oh, God. We're going to do Grip It. Go on. Grip It. a little jumping.
Grip It. GRIPIT. The Ghost Radio International Paranormal Investigation Team. Grip It. Grip It.
All right, well, this is the end of Grip It, by the way. We won't be doing Grip It anymore because it's dull. And besides, my son, Sefton, hates it. So he thinks it's a waste of time. And between you and me, I do too. Because even all the loonies that came through, we had a good laugh at them. But in the end, it's like tiresome, you know. So I decided to do this. I'm going to do this special thing today. But there's a fella, David Levine. And if you're out there, David, you can call in right now at 818-602-4498. Now, David Levine, I'm sorry, his name is David Levine. It's just a mistake. He was the photographer that took the pictures of Jim Morrison right in the middle of that Miami riot. And his story is kind of interesting. I'd like him to tell it to you, so I think we have him on the line. Is that you, David Levine? Hello, David. No? Well, he'll be calling in or we'll be talking to him. Let me just set it up for you. It goes like this. He was a rock and roll starry-eyed kid, wanted to make it in the rock and roll business. He wanted to become somebody who makes album covers. He was a photographer, and he just wanted to get in on the business. I'm going to let him tell it because I think he's on the line. Are you there, David?
Right.
Hello, David.
Yeah.
Okay. You got your radio on there, lad? It's not ghost radio, so bloody well turn it off.
Turn it off.
Are you there, David?
Well, I'm here.
What do you listen to?
Hi, Al. How you doing?
You weren't listening to Rush Limbaugh, that fat bastard, were you?
No, I was listening to your show.
Oh, I've heard feedback. David, I was just telling the people about you, and I want you to tell them in your own inimitable style about what the hell you were doing in that concert. And give us, you know, some of the, like, you remember the little bit you told me about you were standing there in the middle of this concert and a riot broke out and you almost got crushed into a wave.
Yeah, well, let me give you a little background. I was there to shoot pictures because I was trying to do special effects album covers and posters and stuff for rock groups. So I went backstage and I showed the guy my camera, said I was with the Daily Planet, and he let me in. And I try and get in a really good position. So I got right center stage, go right off center, right at the foot of the stage. And, you know, Jim was late coming out, and the concert was terrible. They were just off key, and they just weren't together. And then what happened was Jim kept urging everybody, you know, come on, come on. And so it got to the point where I was being crushed right up against the stage. And it was really the only time I lost sight of him, you know, because I didn't see him expose himself at all. And I don't believe he did. And so everybody rushed the stage and I was protecting my camera. And they all went on the stage and then the doors, you know, kind of, you know, off stage. And that was kind of it. And then it just kind of ended like that. And just everybody thought, oh, you know, how disappointing. What a, you know, rotten concert. And what was this all about? Like, we didn't even know, you know, what was happening. And it was a couple of days later where they announced that they were going to, you know, that they charged him with lewd, lascivious conduct and indecent exposure.
Wow.
And I contacted the local newspaper. I had pictures, and they weren't interested at all. It wasn't news at the time or anything, really. I guess it was just a small little write-up. And then about 6 to 8 months later, I got a phone call from Jim's attorney, Max Fink, who had heard that I had pictures, and he was interested in buying them. So he said, I'll buy your pictures. I thought, oh, great, you know. So he came over my place and, you know, to pick up the pictures, and he started asking me, you know, what happened and what did I see? And I told him all, you know, I didn't see anything really, you know. And he said, you know, would I testify to that? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So that's when, you know, they requested that I become a witness. And then when I showed up at the courtroom, which was in October, the concert actually was 39 years ago, March 1st, was that concert. And the trial was, I think it started in September, I believe, of 1970, almost a year later. And when I showed up to testify the day I was supposed to, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to go into the courtroom because I'm a witness. I'm not supposed to hear what other people say, and I didn't know it. You know, I was a young kid. So I went there, and I walked in, and I sat down. And there was a photographer on the stand, and he was saying how he saw everything. He was up in the projection booth with his telephoto, and he saw Jim, you know, pull it out and all this. And when he was cross-examined, you know, they said, well, you know, how come there's no pictures here, you know, of him doing that? And the kid said, you know, oh, I didn't want to take illegal pictures and other stuff. So about that time, Max Fink, he sees me in the courtroom, and he starts waving his hand for me to get out, you know, and I didn't know what he was doing. So he interrupted the whole court thing, and he said to the judge, you know, he didn't know he wasn't supposed to be in here. Is it okay if he leaves? So the judge says, okay. So then I went and I sat outside, you know, well, not outside, but, you know, out in the hall. And this guy that I heard testify was the last prosecution witness. And after that, they recessed, and we all went out to lunch. It was about 13 of us, Jim and his entourage, and you know, just all these people and everything. And we're just, like, talking and having a good time and all that. And I just happened to say that this other photographer that was on the stand was that he couldn't see anything where he was with that lens, and he, you know, he was just totally full of it. And so Max Fink said to me, "Well, would you testify to that?" And I said, "Absolutely." And he says, "You're the first defense witness." So that's how I came to become the first defense witness at Jim's trial.
Incredible.
Well, when I got called to the stand, it was such a ridiculous scene. I mean, right away they're saying, "Did you hear him say fuck?" And I'm saying to myself, "Well, gee, you know, you arrested this guy for this, but it's okay to say it now?" I mean, it made no sense to me. Then they said, "You know, did you see him make any masturbatory type motions?" And I said, "Well, sort of." And they said, "Well, you know," and they said, "Well, what did he do?" And I said, "Well, he went like this." And they said, "Well, I object. Hand motion cannot be shown in the record." Well, I didn't know what they were talking about, so they asked me again, "Well, what exactly did he do?" I said, "Well, he went like this." They said, "I object." Then the judge says, "Okay, enough of this. Young man, stand up." He says, "Now do it again and stop your hand at the lowest point." So now they got me standing up there. I'm looking straight at Jim. I got Jim right in front of me. I got the judge up in his tower, whatever it is, over on the right, and a jury over on the left, and a whole courtroom full of people. Now I got to stand there, and I got to do this, like, jerking off thing, you know. And he says, "Now stop your hand at the lowest point." So I do, and he describes it for the transcriber. Let it be shown that his hand is opposite his belt buckle. He said, "Now move your hand to the highest point." Well, I took it way up, you know. I said, "Okay," because I'm looking right at Jim as I'm doing it. So I said, "Okay, you know. Okay, let it be shown, blah, blah, blah," and all that other stuff. And that basically was it. And then afterwards, Jim told me it was, you know, he said, "Good show."
And, well, now tell us the moment of impact. When you were right in the crowd there and the whole shithouse went up in flames, so to speak, did you almost get crushed or what happened there?
Yeah, I was really, really concerned about my camera. That was my first reaction. You know, I've been in crowds like that before. I've done rock festivals, you know. I mean, that's what I used to do in those days, was kind of find my way into the best position and get backstage if I could or get close. But yeah, literally, I was, you know, I was holding my camera, like, up in the air so to protect my camera. But yeah, I was literally getting squashed.
Because, I heard... You know, excuse me. I heard some overzealous Christian-type bodyguards, maybe they weren't, jumped on him or bullied him. Do you know what happened exactly at the moment of impact to Jim?
No. Like I said, at that time, it was like, you know, I was protecting my camera and stuff, and I really couldn't see. I think he just really just got, you know, once people started rushing up on the stage, I think they just took them off the stage. I mean,
I gotcha.
You know, they couldn't have them, like, overrun by all those people, you know.
Now, listen, all those years ago, 39 years ago, nobody was interested. Now you've turned this into a most beautiful thing. I saw some of your work frame, and I've seen your website. And tell people what you do, and give plug your website real good, and talk all about the other work you do with flashes and stuff like that. It's fascinating.
Well, my website is treo.com. It's T-R-E-E-O.com. And that's my main site where all the stories are, and it has a link to my gallery. My gallery is gallery.trio.com. That's gallery.trio.com.
Okay.
And this links, you know, to everything. And basically, I have, you know, it's not all up there yet, but I have all the pictures of Jim. I have Led Zeppelin on their first U.S. tour. Also, it was actually 2 weeks before I went to the Doors concert. I shot Led Zeppelin, and it was their last stop on their first U.S. tour.
Oh, cool.
And I heard them live before, the first time I ever heard them, I heard them live. And I didn't know who they were. I actually went to their hotel room the next day to Sunday morning and woke them up to sell them pictures. And they actually bought pictures from me. And I had pictures of Frank Zappa.
Wow, cool. Can people buy these pictures now from your site?
Yeah. When I put my story, you know, the one I just relayed to you, it's been on my website, I guess, for about 12 or 13 years.
No kidding.
And a couple of years ago, yeah, really. And I mean, I was getting all this traffic, and people were emailing me, and I said, well, I have to, you know, I have to put my pictures up. And I went through this whole thing of, oh, well, how am I going to do it, and this, that, and the other. And so I finally, about 3 years ago, I finally put the gallery up, which is a store. You know, people can buy it with their credit card and all that stuff, PayPal. And my first order was from Australia, and it just totally blew me away. I said, it really is the World Wide Web.
I know.
And actually, over half my orders, there seems to be a huge fan base for Jim in Norway. It just amazes me.
You know, every day this week I've had an order from Norway, Sweden, Denmark, somebody for my book. And let me ask you this: all of your work is wonderful to me, but some people, even members of my site, have taken it on themselves because it's the art is so striking, it's noir, it's so beautifully pristine that they've frame them in these expensive frames, like these are classics, you know. And so you don't do the framing, but I know people are so impressed with it that they frame their own, and it's like a very special piece to them, you know, especially that one with the lamb.
Oh, yes.
You took
I frame them also. I actually last year sold a 1620 to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I have one of Jim's pictures with the lamb is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was something I never even dreamed of. It wasn't even on my list of achievements. But you know, once it happened, I said, "Wow, what a benefit! What a miracle! Yeah. It's just phenomenal."
I think you should put a collection together and sell them as a collection, framed.
I do. I have a box set. There is a box set available. A box set I have on the website.
Fantastic. Well, listen, if there's anything else that you'd like to say about your site or anything like that, do it right now. And I want to thank you very much. This has been a fascinating interview. We'll have you on as a regular guest because of your technical skills and all of that. We'll promote those photographs, sell them for you. So.
Well, that's great, Al. Really, it's really good talking to you. I'm really glad to have met you, and I love your forum radio show, and just, you know, you got some great stuff going.
Thank you very much. Well, I hope we have a long relationship till we all die, because you do wonderful work and you honor Jim wonderfully to most people I know. So thank you very much, and say hello to your lovely family for me, and God bless you, lad.
You too, Al. Talk to you soon.
Bye, David. Cool guest, man. Call in 818-602-4498. And now we're going to do All Crime, All the Time.
Detention Asshole of the Week.
Well, I'm sorry, we got that out of sync there, but the asshole of the week this week is me for screwing that up. So the next one, we're going to do this little piece. Let's just do the crime of the week. As far as I'm concerned, the crime of the week was the concert that Robbie Krieger had last night with a group called Particle. Oh my fucking God. It was... Well, the crime in this case was that Robbie Krieger played such beautiful guitar that I almost cried. And although he's playing with techno punk rock shit, I don't know what the band was, Particle, but it was like out of space. But Krieger's guitar is like fine wine. And I'm not just saying that because I don't get along with Krieger. I don't like Manzarek, and I don't like Krieger, and I don't like Densmore. I don't like anybody, to be quite honest with you. But I love kids, sick people, old people, animals, anything that isn't a pain in the ass. You know, I love that. But anyway, the point is, Krieger, it's such a crime to see him playing in such a little venue, you know, like House of Blues. And it was cool and all of that. But he's such a great guitar player now. He's mellowed so beautifully. And he doesn't miss a lick, you know. It's like it's almost a crime to see him playing with a Fuel or anything like that. Rots, Riders on the Storm, and I like he'd play anywhere because he loves to, you know, he's an old road dog, and so I gotta say that there's gotta be better for that man, and one of these days I think he'll get his just preserves by playing in a massive arena again where he belongs to all, you know, all the Doors fans who really know what a good guitar player is. And so that's a shout out to Krieger, and it'll probably be the very last one because I'm such an ornery bastard, but anyway, I want to do some more shout-outs to Liverpool again. You know, I've got my brother Frankie and his wife Lana. And you know what? Your mind goes blank when you want to remember relatives. But I've got so many that I'm just going to do a blank. All right there, Scouse. Kiss a kiss. Hey, missus, got your knickers on? What's the matter with you? What are you looking at? Fuck off. Now, in England, fuck off is, you know, it's a phrase that you use for everything. They fucked off. And one fella came up to me and said, I love your dad, you know. He's fucking great. And so the emphasis on, it's not such a bad word, so don't worry about it when you hear it. And so I wanted to do the new artist of the week, but I think, yeah, the new artist of the week. This is Stacey Spector, and she is a cool chick singer. And she, let me tell you a little story about Stacey before we go into this. I went for a boat ride with Stacey on Coronado Bay and her brother. And we floated down to the Lowe's restaurant to have lunch. And we were passing this boat full of drunk bastards, asshole, yuppie dickbags. And so they yelled out at Stacey, nice tits! So Stacey is a cool chick, but she doesn't like, you know, assholes. So she yelled over, hello. And they went, what? It's coming out a little closer. So when they got closer, she turned her hat backwards, dove off the boat, did a powerful Australian crawl over there, grabbed the biggest asshole by the nuts, dragged him over the side, punched him in the ear, then jumped in the boat to attack all the others. They all jumped overboard, and she jumped back, swam in the boat, we went and had lunch. That's the kind of girl she is. Now, on the other hand, she's a tremendous singer. She's a lady, too, but listen to this. This is one of her songs. This chick, right?
Yeah, I know her.
What's she doing now?
She's you know that song there, Lonely Road Home?
Yeah, that's for the boys in Iraq, is
that's
it?
That's right. That song is getting airplay right now on AFN Iraq, which is the American Forces Network.
Yeah, I like that. That's very good to hear, because those poor lads over there, they don't know if they're going to live and die any minute. And they've got a little angel singing sweetly to them. God bless that little girl.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a good girl.
We'll maybe play some more of that later. You know, I want to call Mr. Mojo at the Ghost Radio, because it's been a long time since I talked to him, and he's a cool guy. Mr. Mojo, Ghost Radio. We'll see if we can get him on the line. I want to go and do Dr. Laura after this, because I've been waiting for this one. What was that? Ghost Radio. Anyway, we're trying to call Mr. Mojo. I hope he's not in the smokehouse, as we say, mixing some sounds. Mr. Mojo! Hello, Mr. Mojo.
Hey, this is KMJR.
Mr. Mojo, this is Al Graham from Ghost Radio in Los Angeles. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Al. How about yourself?
I'm still a lunatic, thank you, sir. Listen, Ghost Radio, Mojo Radio, that like really, I found out, doesn't really exist, does it? It comes in on what do you call that? The spectral wavelength?
That's the spectral radio wavelength, Al. It comes and goes at its own will.
So I heard that like the FCC has been trying to track you down for like 50 years and can never find you, and like you're 400 years old or something like that, or is that somebody else?
Every time they look, they keep looking, and they never find. We're out here on the edge of things, and it's a bit difficult for me to say sometimes where we really are.
Well, I once drove through there. It's in a little tiny place up in the hills in New Mexico, and I drove through there, and the lights in my car went out. It was the scariest moment in my life, because there was no sound. It was an eerie stillness. And then all of a sudden, the lights came on and the radio came on, and I heard, this is KMJR Radio. God almighty. And I started tingling all over, and then I heard your voice. So it's like, will you ever like make an appearance so we could see you?
Or? I've heard we have that effect on people, Al. I try to keep it as cool as I can, but sometimes the wavelength just works its own will on things and people too.
I know that. Well, I've been playing some of your shows, you know, the Mighty Ghost Radio, man, some of those stuff. The one with two dogs. As a matter of fact, there's a guy came in here. His name was Frankie Setback. He said he was the manager for a guy called Two Dogs that you play on your... You know anything about him?
Oh, yeah, I've talked to Frankie fairly often. As often, at least, as he thinks Two Dogs is coming out with a new song, of course. I'm always interested in hearing that, because he's a magnificent player.
Yeah.
Frankie, on the other hand, is...
Something's wrong with him.
A very stunning fellow to deal with.
He's something's wrong with that guy, man. He was trying to sell tickets to a radio show last time he was on here, till we told him that it was on the radio. And, you know, like... Anyway, you know, if somebody was lonely...
I told him that was okay with me. I figured if he could sell a couple, that's a buck in my pocket and probably 10 in his.
Well, listen, let me ask you a question. If someone was to drive out in the desert, how would they find you? You've got a website, right, Doc? What's that called?
We're at darkriders.com. That's Dark Riders with a Y. You can find a lot of our music there. We feature different artists and... some of the best people I've ever run across here, there, and everywhere. Out on the net, we're featuring Cane Creek this week, and Black Ether, and several other great players probably people haven't heard of, but they really should.
Really cool. You know, I love what you do on there with the old jazz, like Memphis Mini and stuff like that. That is the coolest old stuff, man.
Well, you can pick up the Ghost Radio Blues special on there this week. You can download that free. It's about 30 minutes worth of some really great classic blues tracks, too.
Yeah, hey, man.
And also both the Ghost Radio shows are, at least for now, free. Unless the FCC finds us, of course.
Yeah, do you, before we go, can you give us like a call out to Ghost Radio? You know, what happens to people when they come through there is like a phenomenon, but a lot of it is just that voice of yours that hangs in the air and goes like, really is hypnotic. So where'd you get that? Can I get one of those?
Well, if you listen to KMJR long enough and you breathe enough desert air, sooner or later something's going to affect your consciousness.
Well, we have,
and when that happens, all you can do is go with it.
Yeah, we have a little selection right now that we want to play for you of your Ghost Radio. It's between two worlds, right? Or the Big Beat, Texas Radio and the Big Beat. It's so cool. And we're going to play a little bit right now. So.
Well, thank you very much, Al.
You stay on the line with us, okay? Because we'll have a happening here, baby.
Okay.
Our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits. In the dream, if such it was, the Indian motorcycle appeared out of the blinding sunrise when the driver crossed the center line into the undiscovered country. The lost ancient one, Kokopelli, god of music, ceremony, rituals of birth and community, scattered seeds and children, mischief maker, trickster, bringer of warm rain, paused in the midst of the dance and piped a new song on his sacred flute. One child awoke in pain, if dream it was, and as one lifted up from the mare's nest, heard with new ears, saw with new eyes between the known and the unknown, between the shadow and the act.
We're going to do a little more of that in a minute, Mr. Mojo, but that is hypnotic. I played this in a bar the other night with a bunch of drunks, and first nobody started listening, and then as it got more and more intense, people put down their beer, and by the time of it, like, people were drooling. They were so... I guess they were bombed, and this just took them off into this place. So anyway,
well,
go ahead.
When you listen to the silence long enough, you start to hear the things that are on the other side of your regular everyday consciousness. And if you can capture that and just sort of let it go, then people can listen to what's going on in their own minds. And I'm sure in a lot of cases it can be very pleasant, and in many others it could be rather shocking.
Yeah. Well, as we said, it's like, well, why don't you tell us where to go so people can download this? It's free at the moment, right?
Yeah, you can go to www.darkriders.com. We have three CDs available right now. The Ghost Radio Tale of the Indian Bike CD, where that selection you were playing comes from. And also Ghost Radio 2, Radio Silence, which continues that, and we're working on a third one for the trilogy that'll come out sometime this year. And you can also get the Blues Special, which has a lot of people like Skip James and Memphis Minnie doing When the Levee Breaks, and some really outstanding blues music that we've remastered to modern standards, or at least enough so that it sounds like you're listening to a wire recorder instead of a box of cereal opening up.
It's marvelous. Let's hear a little more of the Big Beat. This section of the Big Beat. I love this part. This is so cool.
Film spectators of a quiet vanished infested. The appeal of cinema lies in the fear of death.
Sign off. I would like to tell you about Texas Radio and the Big Beat.
This is KMJR Radio.
Your sacred, sincere, and dedicated
Desert Radio.
Become veteran.
Ghost Radio.
That was too cool. Well, Scott, Mr. Mojo,
it's
been an honor to have you, sir, and you take me places somewhere I've never been before, and that's no nonsense, sir. I want to congratulate you because my wife is about to leave me for your voice, sir, and it is hypnotic.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Al, and I appreciate always being able to talk with you and work with you.
It's my pleasure, sir. We've had a great union. I just want to say that to the listeners out there, Scott Graves, Mr. Mojo, and Jesse Shakespeare, two of my closest friends, and I've never met the men. We've
We're out there in the ether.
Right. We've communicated, we've done business, we've done art, and it's all in the air. And it's just so magic. It's like having two other brothers and lots of other people around us and are joining us like that. And it's really, oh, shut up, Graham. You sound so
sick. And somehow, in the middle of all this, we've worked together like a three-legged stool, and we've been able to put out...
That's right.
Well, we did get your book together, and I remember it's going to be coming out pretty fast,
right? Next week, man, next week. We've done so much together, all three of us and some other people behind the scenes, but us, this little trinity, it's almost gay. No, I'm done. Just kidding. Anyway, Scott, listen, it's been great. Love to your wife, Megan, and if anybody that you meet that I know, tell them to go fuck themselves, okay? Just for the hell of it.
I'll certainly do that. I'll take great pleasure in doing so.
Oh, by the way, Scott he's an English teacher and a brilliant teacher, but he's also a rock historian, and he's like a walking encyclopedia of literature and art, and he's the fellow who wrote the foreword in my book, and it is really a beautiful foreword. In fact, I only want to read the foreword anymore. I want to know who the fuck he's talking about, because he keeps talking about this guy called Alan Graham being really good at this and that, and it's like, I don't know that guy.
I just go by the evidence, you know. We all have to look in the mirror sooner or later.
It's the truth. Well, my friend, it's been a real pleasure having you on. We'll have you on a lot because we'll be doing this in the air all the time now.
I look forward to it very much.
All right, Mr. Mojo. Say goodnight to us in the true Ghost Radio fashion, sir.
You've been listening to Ghost Radio, Spectral Wavelength, music coming to you between worlds. Later on, we'll talk some more, but until then, stay cool.
Cool. Good night, Mr. Mojo. All right, call us at 818-602-4488. And don't forget to go get my book at www.darkriders.com with a Y. All right. Dr. Laura, got to get her before I go. Dr. Laura is a television radio. She was tried in TV, but she's a radio shrink, right? Wrong. She says, she went on Larry King and she says, he asked her, well, what kind of a degree do you, what kind of a doctor are you? Being Larry King is a sly old bastard. He knew the story before he asked her. And she said, oh, I studied the whole body. I studied the mind. I studied the physiology. Well, what kind of a doctor are you? Well, I studied, you know what? She's got a degree in, are you ready for this? Physiology. She's a fucking gym teacher. She is a gym teacher, and she goes on the radio as Dr. Laura. Well, we've got a new doctor in town. His name is Dr. Vanker, and pronounced Vanker, but it's spelled W-A-N-K-E-R. And he's got his own brand of dispensing, you know, therapy. And it would be sublime for me to debate Dr. Laura about her methods, because she is nothing but a dried-up old skank, and that's the truth. She pontificates. These poor people call in, you know, the poor people, they, after a while, if you call in twice, you're a schmuck. They call in and say, my father-in-law doesn't like my new wife because she doesn't like... And she berates these people. She tortures them and tells them, oh, you're shacking up, are you? Well, what kind of a life is that for your kids? She was a whore, closely. Remember Bill Balance? He was the radio personality in Los Angeles. And she did kinky with him and a Dalmatian and some... washing powder, a liquid. I don't know what it was, but he took pictures of her. And there she was, spreading her legs. It was so ugly that they even blocked out her muffin. That's how gross she was. She had tits like two fried eggs. She was ugly, a little yenta. That's all that I can say to her. And she goes on and she haggles people and she harasses them. And people give her all this credibility. Like, oh, Dr. Laura's so good. She is a fucking gym teacher. Dr. Wanker here, Wanker, I want you to call me. Don't call Dr. Laura, call me. I'm going to be on 24-hour radio in the middle of the night very soon, and you can call me up, and I'll give you some real therapy, okay? Because if you give your life up to a talk show host who is pretending to be a doctor and they're nothing but a fucking gym teacher, then you deserve what you get. And I know people, who respectable other doctors, who say, oh, well, she's very good. She is not very good. She should be prosecuted for practicing medicine without a license. She's always dispensing. You know what? She does more damage on people's fucking heads than she does good. And some people need a good slap in the face, but this isn't. Anyway, she's an old skank. So they got it. They busted us. They said, okay, you took the dirty pictures with Bill Balance, didn't you? So you're a hypocrite skank, right? She said, that wasn't me. For a long time, she just denied that those pictures weren't her. But then when they were proved, she ignored the rest. And then she was such a hypocrite. She was married to the guy. She was shacking up with the guy she married now. And she was always telling these people, you're shacking up. Anyway, she's a moralist. She's an immoral moralist, if you can get my drift there. Anyway, so enough of Dr. Laura. And I want to tell a little story about my book that's not in the book. Of course, there are a million of them that are not in the book. And it's like, where the hell do you start? If I told you 1 week of the things that happened with me and Larry Flint, for example, one time he gave us a check for $10,000 to write a screenplay for a movie that we were all going to work on. That was when we were doing the rock opera. Unfortunately, he had a diversion in the name of the feds came to get him, and everyone else in the world in authority came to get him, because he embroiled himself in the John DeLorean drug case, and then he embroiled himself in the Vicky Morgan sex case, and then he embroiled himself. He would just attach himself to a case, whether it was involved or not, just to get publicity. Sold millions of magazines. But my God, did we go on a ride. Larry Flint had what we call a manic ride. He suffers from manic depression, and he's much under control right now. But when he went for a ride, he took everyone with him. And I was involved with him in a countrywide, I should say, jaunt or sojourn, the most weird places of all. Every place we'd land, they'd put him in jail, and we'd bust him out and put him in jail in another city, in Missouri, in Chicago, in Alaska, in Butner, North Carolina, in Los Angeles, in Terminal Island. And it was the most bizarre event, because all of the people, he had this check, you know, $1 million for anyone who can do this, that, that. He's still got that going, actually. So all these lunatics would come around, try to get the money. But all these sane people would come along, too, just for the ride. And, oh, it's wonderful going there. I watched the single largest mass mental breakdown, because everyone connected with him one way or the other was either corrupted or collapsed or had a mental breakdown or got something bad happened to them. In fact, his top bodyguards are all serving life right now for killing Roy Raden, who was the producer of that movie, The Cotton Club. It was called The Cotton Club Murders. Those same bastards tried to kill me a bunch of times. I had more face downs with them than Smith & Wesson has guns, and that's the truth. They were lunatic bastards, all from Vietnam, all ex-Vietnam murderers, and there was an internecine warfare going on inside the Flint camp, and it was bodyguard against bodyguard, sister against brother, and it was bizarre, and I was right in the middle of it. And Flint was the only one, I mean, I was the only one Flint confided in, and we went on this jaunt, and it was such a bizarre story that it's like it defies telling you in a short period of time. I couldn't write all of it in the book. You'll find some of it on my website, but it is a bizarre story, and that's just one of them. Now, I want another shout out to that Stacy girl, because she not only saved me from those assholes on the bay, but I want to hear a little more of her music, because she has such a sweet voice. She tried to put the moves on me, too. No, I'm just kidding. That's so sweet. All right, go to Stacy's website, stacyspector.com. Cool stuff over there. All right, want to get to No One Here Gets Out Alive. That book, the whole story of Jim Morrison is based on that book, No One Here Gets Out Alive. And that's the biggest part of this whole story that is the most sickening. Because originally, Jerry Hopkins wrote a book. It wasn't called No One Here Gets Out Alive. It was a book about Jim Morrison, and he hawked it to everyone in the world, and they said, boring, depressing, go away. And that was the end of it, right? Wrong. Ray Manzarek and decided, I don't know all of the workings, but they got together and they decided, we're going to pick up Jerry Hopkins' book and rewrite some more because they knew so much more, right? So Danny Sugerman, the mailroom fucking clerk, suddenly emerges as Danny Sugerman, the writer and the best friend of Jim Morrison. What a load of shit. Before Jim Morrison left, he fired Danny Sugerman's ass because he kept putting his nose in the wrong business and he shouldn't have been talking when he was talking. Okay, that was the end of Danny Sugerman, right? Wrong. 10 years after Jim Morrison's death, Danny Sugerman is suddenly an author. Suddenly, I've written this wonderful book, No One Here Gets Out Alive. No, no, no. He didn't write even one fucking bit of that. That was written by a bunch of hacks that he hired and Ray hired. And all Danny was the front, Ray was behind the whole fucking thing. And they put this book together and they tried to get John Travolta to play a movie based on Jim Morrison's life. Well, that fell through. But the truth of the matter is this. The book is two books. One written by a serious journalist, Jerry Hopkins. Another one written by a mailroom fraud and by Manzarek telling all the dirt and pretending that it was like, you know, he wasn't involved in it. But Ray was behind that whole fucking dirty side of the book. And all it talked about was the most sensational parts. Listen to Ray. I'll never forget this. After Jim died, the best thing he could say was, dude, we're going to be redoing all the music, man, all over again. And you could very much look forward to the dirtiest version of Gloria you've ever heard. Fucking hell. What an aspiration, huh? Anyway, so the people who wrote that book have been able to lay down a line of horse shit to Morrison fans across this country that that was the real Jim Morrison. And although all of the most of the facts were true, except the parts that Sugerman made up about the parts that described Jim and a little girl in a hotel room that no one except Jim and the little girl could have described, but somehow Danny was on the scene. Danny was on the scene when Pamela died. In fact, she tried to make love to him, or he tried to make love to her, and they shared heroin. It was such a lying sack of shit that... anyway, the whole myth is built on that book, so I advise you not to buy it and not to read it. Okay, we're going to tell you one more time to go to my book. I mean, to go to my site if you want to buy the book. I Remember. And it's www.darkriders.com. And if you want it signed lovely, or if you want to buy one for your mother-in-law and want me to call her an old bitch, I'll put that in even. I'll do anything. So how long we got left there, young? We've got 5 minutes. So I just want to say this about old souls. Old souls, psychologists call old souls children who endure incredible abuse. And somehow, in their wisdom, they have this old, that's why they call them old souls, they manage to process it and contain it and put it in somehow, you know, somehow endure. But after that, you'd think most people who'd gone through that would be shattered, but these old souls excel, and sometimes even greater because of this. So you can't kill a human being. You can't stump them down. You can't. Eventually, the real human emerges. And this is a shout out to all the shitbags and all the bullies who bully people. Like my brother John was tormented by my older brother, tortured him. And I never understood it. I always looked up to my older brother. But later on, I found out that my older brother was a fucking coward, and that my little brother that he was beating up all the time was the real hero in my life. And he's the one who saved my life, my older brother, John. He told me stories and things when there was sadness and we were short of food. It was like a terrible time after the war in Liverpool. He made my life happy because he told me stories of Fat Girl and Maggie Block. And he made up all these fantastical stories. He was a great human being. And he was the one who was abused so much by my older brother. One day my mother said, if I ever catch you hitting him again, I'll take care of you. One of these days I'm going to walk in the door and I'm gonna get you. So one day, I never forget this, he was smacking him in the back of the head repeatedly, and Johnny was crying, and my mother walked in the door, And he tried to run away, and she picked up a plate and threw it at the fucking door, and it hit the door and splintered and put a 12-inch gash in his arm. He squealed like a pig. And that day, my mother saved my older brother. And from then on, it was like that bully was taken out. And even though he wanted to yell things, he was never again, because my mother would have knocked him out. She was one of those matriarchs, and she would have knocked his ass out. And he knew that. So my mother saved my older brother's life. We're going to do a little bit of Frankie Setback. He's out there bitching again that we didn't play his fucking song. Okay, I love Carousel, but for Christ's sake, Frankie, did he get the $100 from the bastard? We're going to play some of his... It's not payola. Don't say that. Don't say that.
There you go again. On your own again. Somebody else done found you out. Don't go whining or pretend you're pining, 'cause nobody cares anymore. Every time you talk, you dig a deep grave, and the walls come slowly crumbling in. It's no use squirming. This time you're learning that what you've given, you're gonna get right back. Every time you step on another friend, as you climb the golden stair, at the top you find all those souls you've left behind. Are the ones you're gonna meet on your way back down. There you are again, the same old scene again. Some other fool playing on you. Round and round again, the same old story goes again.
All right, that was Frankie Sepp. Is that fine? Okay, we played it. Can you get off? God almighty, what a pushy bastard. Frankie.
Fuck off, you cunt.
Don't be swearing in here, man. It's not right. All right, this is the end of our show, and I'm filming right now across the beautiful Los Angeles while me and Evan are doing this rock and roll thing on Ghost Radio, and we've got a new out here, and... we'll see you next week. You know, tickets on the radio, so you can't see it. We're going to end now with our new out. It's an outro, we're calling it. And it's to all the shitbags in the world who step on people. Here's your song. It's your signature tune, you dirty, rotten bastards. Fuck off and die. All right. Go on, play that. Go on, kiss it. Oh, stop swearing, Alan.